My name is Nicholas Franco, and I played the dozier of the two airmen in LOLO. He was called Carstairs. How did I get cast? Well, I went to an interview. I was invited to an interview with David Croft, and that interview went well. Admittedly, we did think it was just for one episode us two airmen would come in and then disappear the next episode to be replaced by two more airmen. So I thought I was just being interviewed for an episode of this new sitcom. And it turned out I wasn't. It was a real thing. Well, not the real thing, but, you know, it turned out I was in it for a lot of the series. What can I tell you about the locations? Well, they were a long bicycle ride from London, I can tell you that much. I have a habit of cycling everywhere, and it was 111 miles from where I lived in London at the time. It was in Swaffham. We were based at the George Hotel in Swaffham mostly, and we had locations within about 10 miles, I suppose, of there. Lots of French-looking lanes. We did a reunion recently, I say recently, probably a year or two ago. I cycled again to the reunion, but slightly less far from Cambridge, and down those lanes. Some of the lanes south of Swaffham are perfect for France. So, except for the very first scene, possibly that was ever made of LOLO, certainly it was made with the airmen in LOLO, and that was done down at Goodwood, in the driveway at Goodwood. There was a scene where you meet the airmen, they're cycling down the road on the wrong side and stuff with onions around their necks. And that was done at Goodwood. And I didn't cycle to that. I was taken down in a coach. Very lazy. What was it like working with John D. Collins? He was, to use a word I don't like using, very professional. I don't like using it because professional should just mean you're earning money at something, but it also means that you're doing the job, you know, well. You're not wasting time. You're together. So he was very professional. We weren't bosom buddies. He was probably a little more competitive than me. We worked fine together. I missed him on one occasion when he was supposed to be on the front of a tandem. We were inside a pantomime cowl, and there was a scene of us riding down the road, and he broke his ankle. So we had another chap, a lovely man called Gary Merry, who came along and stood in for John in the pantomime cow. So in the end, the secret is, let out now, that I, who was supposed to be on the back, was on the front of the tandem, being an expert tandem rider, and Gary was on the back, and John D was nowhere to be seen. Did all the post syncing of the sound later. It was very fortunate, in fact, that was a year that Johnny chose to break his ankle, because the entire filming was done inside the cow, so he didn't need to be seen. I had Gary instead. What did I think of my fellow cast members? Oh, they were absolutely awful to a man. No, I mean, I've done a lot of jobs in my life, not just acting, and you know, you get on with some workmates better than others, and you befriend some better than others. But we all were a reasonably jolly gang, I think. Those of us of a sort of similar age all got on quite well, and we enjoyed chatting to each other. I don't know whether I sort of got to the point that I'd sort of visit people's homes very much or anything like that. It was just like work colleagues are anywhere else, you know. But as far as I was concerned, anyway, there was no particular acrimony. I suppose I used to meet Richard Marner for long after doing the show. He lived. He's died now, sadly, a long time ago. But he lived. he lived in Kentford, which is near Newmarket, and I lived in Great Wilbraham. So we'd sort of meet each other for Sunday drinks and things like that. And that was nice. But otherwise, yeah, we were, you know, it was all sort of heightened bonhomie, I suppose. And we joked and chatted and were a bit vulgar from time to time. Which is nice. It's just pleasant and fun. What can I tell you about Gordon Kaye and Carmen Silvera? What can I tell you? Gordon, again, I would describe in the same way as John Dee, a professional. I was always amazed how well he could do his scenes, even after he had his accident. He could do that first scene in which he had to describe what had gone on in the previous episodes in one take, often. We didn't have much communication socially, really. He had his own life, I guess. He was definitely a workmate, but he was extremely good at his job. And Carmen, well, similarly, Carmen knew my aunt. I had an aunt called Rosemary Franco, and they were friends. And I could see how that would work. I liked Carmen. She was a warm and pleasant person as far as I was concerned. And masked her age. We all thought she was about 20 years younger than she was. Do I have any favourite scenes or episodes in Hello, Hello? Well, I enjoyed all of it. One of the glories of being able to be part of Hello, Hello was I always enjoyed those Croft sitcoms. I adored them as a child. So to be part of one was great, and I enjoyed most things in Hello, Hello. And provided I'm not on a screen, I still enjoy watching them. But perhaps the German stuff, the Herr Flick and von Smallhausen, were sort of particularly funny for me, and all the slightly quirky things that went on with them. And of course, Helga. Do character names rather than actor names. Between von Ström and Gruber, all that stuff. I'm struggling to remember the character names now. Hans Gearing, that's right. All those. I mean, those things always made me smile. And there was a scene. There was a classic scene which wasn't to do with the Germans. It was a very cleverly built up scene. There was a bomb that was supposed to go off, and it was on somebody's nose. I can't remember. The Gatto from the Chateau, I think the episode was possibly called. And it was a build-up of everybody was terrified this bomb was going to go off that had been set up by the resistance and all the joys of Michel and so on of the resistance. And every time, you know, Gordon Kaye, René was rushing around thinking that the next thing was going to cause the whole cafe to blow up. And he didn't want this to happen, of course. So it was a panic scene. It's a famous scene, and I'm probably remembering it slightly badly, but that's roughly it. And it was brilliantly done. Did we synchronise our hellos? No, I don't remember that was an issue. I think we just said hello, and it was as good as it was going to be. I remember someone trying to tell me, I don't know, Ken Connor. Ken Connor was the Undertaker, and he decided he'd get me to say air, hair, lair, which put together becomes air hilaire. I never quite did it like that. I went hello, but I remember thinking, oh, that would have been a little bit better. But no, there wasn't a synchronization problem that I remember. What was the atmosphere like when we finished our day's filming? Oh, we ran away screaming. You know, we couldn't stand each other. Well, it was just, we all joked and teased and we, as I say, we just really behaved like work colleagues who got on reasonably well. I mean, you know, most of us, those of us sort of similar age, we all certainly all sort of banded together and would go off and eat supper in the George or wherever we were filming and all that. And when we were in rehearsal rooms, well, we'd obviously all have lunch together and look around and see who else was there and have a laugh and that sort of thing. Occasionally, I remember in the early days, I would go around with my then girlfriend to Richard Gibson's flat after the actual recording, and have a drink or two of wine and with one or two of the others. It was okay. It was, as I say, you always think it's going to be something sort of strange and magical, and maybe we're all jumping into bed with each other, very different from any other walk of life. But in my opinion, except for us being a bit louder because we were actors, probably not. How did I keep a straight face when Officer Crabtree spoke his lines? Well, actually, sometimes with a little bit of difficulty. I remember at one point, because it was so easy to imitate, doing an Officer Crabtree on Arthur, who played the part. And he was just amazed, because it was kind of a no-no that you'd do something like that. But it was so sort of so wonderful to take the mickey out of what he did, which was wonderful, that you found yourself just moving about with complete freedom, or whatever he did, moving about with complete freedom. Obviously you wouldn't do it as well as he did, but you sort of would. It was very easy to want to do an Officer Crabtree, and it was difficult to stop yourself doing it. Did we have a lot of laughs when we had to redo the scenes? There's a question. Occasionally, perhaps when things went wrong. I know that on one occasion I had a stick on moustache and that fell off. So we went on and on until such time as it was obviously fallen off, and then we had to redo it. And that was in front of the studio audience. That was just one of mine, but there were all sorts of things that could go wrong. I can remember one joke which was supposed to be an innuendo that belonged to Carmen, and she just did it. She forgot a couple of the words. I can't remember now quite how, so that it really sounded very rude, and so we all collapsed over that, and of course did a retake. So occasionally, yes, that sort of thing happened. Yeah, were the onions round our necks real or a plastic prop? Do you know? I don't know. I do know, curiously, that I once created a redo of that with real onions myself on a piece of wire, which I hung around a rope round my neck. And this was for a political rally. I suppose I don't have to say much more, but it was for a political rally in solidarity with, shall we say, at least France. So I made my own with my own real onions and stank. It was marvellous. Everybody stayed a long way away from me. But I don't remember in Hello, Hello. I should think they were real, but I just don't. I can't. I would think they were real, but I can't remember. Are there any bloopies that I would have got involved with when I was in any show, not just Hello, Hello? Well, there's always the issue when you or your partner dries, they forget their lines, and then you hope to help each other out. One of the last things I did professionally, I completely dried at a key moment of mine in this particular play. I didn't expect to dry because it was so such an action-packed thing that I did. The last thing I expected to do was forget my lines, and the poor other actor had to say, weren't you going to, it was so obvious, weren't you going to do so and so, whatever my name was, blah 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 blah. And that's right, it was a night when my parents, who work in the same industry, were in together with one or two of their friends, and it was wonderfully awful that I happened to dry in such an awful way that particular night. But life is like that. What was it like working for Jeremy Lloyd and David Croft? They kept, or David kept, a quite a relaxed atmosphere. I remember sort of noticing that when we did the first bit of filming for the first series, particularly. It was just sort of, and David would sort of allow himself to laugh at his own scenes. You'd see his shoulders going up and down. So it was just sort of, it was one of those situations where you played the game, you did what you were supposed to do, and it was all very laid back and sort of okay. It was like you knew who was boss, but you and everybody revered David. They thought he was sort of God, but he was a very gentle and quiet God who just got on with the job. Very, and obviously both of them extremely talented. Was it in a stage production? No, bluntly. It was easier to have a couple of ASMs, assistant stage managers, just pop their heads out as the airmen than drag us round. So, they didn't actually tell us fully. They just didn't. We just didn't get the job. So that was a little bizarre. But by then, I think it was quite nice not to necessarily be wedded to that. I may have even done something else instead, which would have been good. I can't remember now. It's a long time ago. And it was, yeah. So I went to see it. That's right. I remember going to see it. I went to see it at Wimbledon Theatre, which was near where I was living at the time. And outside, everybody was trying to get autographs from Sam Kelly, who played Hans Gearing. And I just thought, I'll see if I get an autograph, and put my hand out, thinking, well, he probably won't see who I was. But of course he did. So I did go and see it. But yeah, no, I wasn't in it. Was I asked to appear in any of the other Croft and Perry sitcoms? No. I mean, Hello, Hello was quite far towards the end anyway. I think Johnny ended up doing a bit of You Rang My Lord, but I didn't end up doing anything there. Thank you for talking to me.